I love Islam. 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 I love Islam.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
Dear viewers of I Love Islam, welcome back. Alhamdulillah, you're watching I Love Islam program. And wherever you are in the world, please make sure you stay tuned, watch this program till the end. And today, inshallah, we have similar segments but different topics. We have story time. Today, we are going to talk about traveling for knowledge. And there's a beautiful story that we're going to be sharing with you. And that story has actually been mentioned in the glorious Quran as well. Then we have another segment, Sunnah lifestyle, Islamic ruling and Islamic manners. And in the studio, I have Hassan Raza as well with me. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing, Hassan Raza?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli.
Subhanallah. Are you ready for the program?
Yeah.
MashaAllah. Right, before we start our first segment, should we listen to a kalam? Who's in the mood of listening to a kalam? Are you ready for it? Come on then, let's listen to a beautiful kalam. But the deal is, you have to join in as well. Are you going to join in? Come on, that's great, beautiful. Come on, Hassan Raza, what kalam are you going to read today?
Hasbi Rabbi Jalla.
SubhanAllah, that's a beautiful kalam. MashaAllah, I'm sure all the kids who are watching this program, even the adults, all of you are watching, I'm sure you're going to join, inshallah. Please make sure you don't just listen to this, join in as well. Come on then, Hassan Raza.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulullah, salam alayka ya Habibullah, hasbi Rabbi jallallah, ma fi qalbi ghayrullah, nur Muhammad sallallah.
Allah,
hasbi Rabbi jalla Allah.
الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم. سبحان الله, that was a beautiful kalam. MashaAllah, well done Hassan Reza. MashaAllah, keep up the good work. Alhamdulillah, it's time for our first segment. It's called Story Time.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Story time, and it's today we will be having a story about traveling for knowledge. Subhanallah, that's one of the beautiful topics. Those people who like studying, and this is one of the, you could say, the best part, because as a student, when you learn about those stories of great people who traveled so much just to learn Islamic knowledge, and whenever you hear that story, it gives you so much motivation. It inspires you. It's like it charges your battery, doesn't it? Today, inshallah, we are going to talk about the stories about traveling for knowledge. Subhanallah. And today we have our beautiful Gohar Bhai with us as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing, Gohar Bhai?
Alhamdulillah, how are you, Uncle Tafiq?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal, I'm well, mashallah. Thank you for joining us again. So, mashallah, welcome back to our I Love Islam program. And today, I believe we have a very important topic.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, this, just before we start the topic though, because the title is Traveling for Knowledge. I'm sure you've read many waqiyat, many stories of great pious scholars who traveled so much. And you know, each time you study about them, it just gives you that extra energy, doesn't it?
Yes.
You feel like, you know what, I should be doing the same. I wish I could have done something more. And definitely, you know, Islamic history is full of such stories, because the teachings of Islam has reached us through a lot of sacrifice,
yes,
a lot of, you know, effort that great individuals, personalities are put in. And today, inshallah, I want to know a particular incident that is mentioned in the glorious Quran, and it gives a message about the importance of traveling for knowledge. So if you want to start off with that beautiful incident, anything from the Quran that mentions about traveling for knowledge, or any great personality who actually traveled for knowledge that has been mentioned in the glorious Quran. So what would you like to say?
One of the greatest personalities that we should look up to is the Prophet alayhi wasalam. And inshallah, in today's topic, we're going to discuss regarding a certain prophet, Prophet Musa alayhi salam,
Subhanallah,
who took this journey in order to seek knowledge, who went on this journey to meet someone special, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran.
Subhanallah.
So as we know that Musa alayhi salam, he, after the Pharaoh drowning in the river Nile, after this took place, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam had a dialogue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He spoke with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah, so wow.
He's one of those prophets who was blessed to speak with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahu Akbar, that's amazing, that. So Prophet Musa al-Islam actually spoke
with
Allah ta'ala.
With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
He used to talk to Allah, used to speak with Allah.
Speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
He asks that, Ya Allah, who is the most beloved person to you amongst the people?
Wow.
Who is the most beloved?
Subhanallah, that's a beautiful question, that.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, the one who invokes my remembrance and never forgets me. The one who always does my zikr and he never forgets my remembrance. He is the most beloved person to me.
Allah.
So from this, children, we understand that we should always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
Wherever we are, always think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watching. That's a remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
Even just thinking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us now,
Allah,
that is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
And then he asks, Musa alayhi salam asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the most knowledgeable person amongst the people?
Subhanallah.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the one who along with his knowledge also strives to learn knowledge from others, so that he may acquire such a piece of knowledge that may guide him towards righteousness. So if a person, the most person who has the most knowledge is the person who has knowledge but still seeks more knowledge.
Wow.
And this is for the audience who are watching, the elders, like the imams or the hafiz or the scholars who are watching as students of knowledge, that your student life never finishes. You might study, finish your Dars-e Nizami, might finish relearning the Quran by heart, but that's not it. You still carry on. The more you study, the more you will gain. Alhamdulillah, the Muballigheen of Dawud Islam, we travel on Madani Kafla every month, we lead them. But every Madani Kafla we travel on, we still learn something new.
Subhanallah.
It might be the same topic,
wow,
but yet we still end up finding something new or learning something new.
Subhanallah.
And then Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if there's anyone who is more knowledgeable than me, then please guide me towards him. Is there anyone on this earth that has more knowledge than me, then please guide me towards him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Khidr, Khidr is more knowledgeable than you.
Subhanallah.
The person known as Khidr alayhi salam, he is the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Khidr alayhi salam. So Musa alayhi salam, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where should I search for him? How should I find this person? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that go near the bank of a sea, near a rock, and you find this person there, Khidr alayhi salam. So Musa alayhi salam, he went on this journey, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told this Musa alayhi salam, as you can imagine, there's a lot of water around in the earth and around in the world. So which sea, which ocean, where could I find this person from? So he said, give him a tip, give him a clue. He said that when you go, travel with a fish in a basket and place it in a certain place, and wherever the fish gets lost, wherever the fish comes out of the basket, that's the place where this person is.
Allahu Akbar.
So some
signs were given as well.
Some signs were given, yes.
Yeah.
So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam embarked on the journey of the sea, the place where these two seas meet, Majma'ul Bahrain. And he had a close friend as well, a close disciple who went on this journey, known as Yusha bin Nun. He was also a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they went on this journey, Musa alayhi salam. And yet, look, Musa alayhi salam is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet he still wants to seek knowledge, still wants to meet someone.
That's what I was thinking.
More knowledge than him.
Gohar Bhai, that's exactly what I was thinking at the moment. That one, Prophet Musa alayhi salam is speaking in the court of Allah,
yes,
and asking Allah azza wa jal, is there anyone who has more knowledge than me?
Yes.
So this itself is like a thirst for knowledge.
Yes.
Yeah, because why would someone to know someone who knows more?
Yes.
You normally want to know about that person so you can gain something else from them.
Yes.
So asking that question itself shows the hunger and the thirst that Musa alayhi salam has for knowledge.
Yes.
And then asking further, you know, to find out the name and the signs.
Yes.
Yeah, that shows there's more, you know, he's more thirsty for knowledge. And then after that, actually going out, you know, leaving his place and reaching out with this in mind, that there are some signs to travel, but don't know where it is.
Yes.
There's no idea, you know, how far it is. You know, I remember reading this waqia in Tafsir Siratul Jinan. In one place it is mentioned that Musa alayhi salam said to the companion they were traveling with, that we will travel, yeah, regardless of how long it takes.
Subhanallah.
With that mindset, that no matter how long it takes, for argument's sake, if it takes weeks, months, or years, or even lifetimes, no matter how long it takes, I'm going to keep traveling until I find that place. You know, with that type of mindset, you know, like, so some people have challenges,
yes,
you have goals in life. This is one beautiful lesson we can learn from this particular aspect of Musa alayhi salam, that this was his goal. His goal was to reach to the place where Prophet Khidr alayhi salam is, so they can have a communication, they can meet him, and they can have a discussion there. So to find Khidr alayhi salam, he was ready to travel wherever and how long it takes. That was a beautiful thing to do. That's something for us that, you know, we need to have that passion as well.
Never give up.
Never give up. Never give up. Be strong. Continuity is key to success.
And inshallah, you complete your task. with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So Musa al-Islam set off this beautiful journey,
not knowing where he's going to go, how long it's going to take.
Allah.
So he set off because he knew, I put my mind to this, inshallah, Allah, with the permission of Allah, I'll find this.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
So he went on this journey and he went to sleep in a certain place, certain area. And the fish, which was the...
So here, so Musa al-Islam traveled so far.
Yes.
Traveled for so long. There's not much detail if it's weeks or months, but kept on traveling. They traveled so far, and then when they got tired, obviously in journey you get tired sometimes. Remember, you have different, you know, normally what happens in the day, you have your lunch, you have your breakfast, you have lunch, you have your dinner, you have different meals in the day. But these beautiful personalities who were traveling in the path of knowledge, now they just continued to travel. They were hungry for something else. Yeah, they just kept on traveling. And then time came when they became so tired. And that's when they took a rest and they fell asleep.
Just off topic, like seeking knowledge, going towards knowledge. A story of a person who from Medina Sharif, he went to the place of Syria. Because there's a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Syria. And he went to that companion and goes, I've heard that you know a hadith. I've traveled all this way just to listen to that one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Subhanallah.
Just to listen to one hadith, he traveled. There was no car, there was no planes back then. Just by, you have to go on a camel. However, they went from Medina Sharif all the way to Syria just to hear one blessed saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
That would have took them like months.
Months, weeks. Yeah. And nowadays we have everything, yet we can't give our time. We think
sometimes we have a madrasa, yes, which is like 5 minutes away from our homes, and we still don't go there.
Yes, so we make excuses. I've got stomachache, my head's hurting, I can't go today, and then the parents give up. But look at these personalities. Look how far.
Whilst we are discussing the story, traveling for knowledge, one beautiful lesson that we need to take away today is instill this love inside your heart. Now have this love, this passion, this energy that I want to learn Islamic knowledge. I want to increase my information about Islam. I want to know more. Now have that hunger inside you. And if you actually have that hunger, that thirst inside you, that you want to learn deen, then inshallah you will find that energy. You'll make sure, you know, that there are so many doors of knowledge available. There's so many opportunities for you. You'll find them. They're around you. You can easily reach to them. You've got, for example, in the form of Maktabatul Madina, Dawat Islami has a website where you can download the books of Maktabatul Madina of Dawat Islami. They're free of charge. There's so many books on so many different topics. You can read those books if you wish, free of charge. There doesn't cost you anything. Download them free. If you want to buy the physical copy, which I personally prefer, a physical copy, it's a beautiful feeling. You know, when you have a physical copy, Gorbay, and you're holding that book, and not, that feeling that you get there, you don't get it on the device.
It's a different feeling.
It's not the same. So that you know that relationship between the man and the book, yeah, you get that with a physical copy. So if you can get hold of a physical copy of these books, you can buy these from the website of Maktabatul Madina UK, order from them as well. They'll reach out to your homes, inshallah. They'll be delivered to your homes. Or if you want, reach out to your local Maktabatul Madina bookshop in Dawud Sami centers. You can also buy them from there as well. And at the same time, there might be a Madani Qafla traveling in your local area. You might have weekly ijtima. Yeah, there's so much available these days. You know, if you want to learn, there's so much available. Yeah, but we have to prioritize.
Yes.
Yeah. So the first thing to take away today is, let's try to increase our love for knowledge. Then we'll try to, whilst we're listening to the story, let's try to take away some beautiful lessons as well. You go ahead, boy.
So now Sayyidina Musa al-Islam is sleeping at a certain place. And whilst he's sleeping, the sign which Allah subhanahu gave him was that take a fish in a basket. That wherever the fish comes out of the basket, falls into the sea, that's where Khidr alayhi salam is present. So whilst he was asleep, this fish, he jumped out, it quivered out of the basket, fell into the sea.
Wow.
So Musa alayhi salam woke up in the morning, he had something to eat, and then he continued his journey.
Wow, that's just extraordinary. Can you believe it, kid? Wow, that's amazing. Fish coming out from the basket and then jumping into the sea.
Okay.
That's how much love water is.
Yes.
Yeah. So what happened after that?
So then Musa alayhi salam woke up and continued his journey. Because he wasn't aware the fish had gone out of the basket. And now it was lunchtime. Now they want to eat. So Musa alayhi salam asked his companion, who was Yusha bin Nun alayhi salam, that where's that fish? Bring the fish, let's have something to eat for lunch. And Yusha bin Nun alayhi salam, he goes that, oh, that fish last night when you were asleep, it came out of the basket and fell into the sea, but
Allah,
I forgot to inform you.
Allah.
And Musa alayhi salam goes, that's the place where we need to be at.
Wow.
That's the place where that we need to be, so we can see Khizr alayhi salam, this person who has more knowledge than me.
Subhanallah.
So Musa alayhi salam didn't give up, he went back. He didn't think, oh, allow this, let's carry on. I've walked so much and such a long journey, now I have to go back. No, Musa alayhi salam still continued. He went back to see where that fish went, to meet this person, Khidr alayhi salam. So when they got next to the hill where they were resting.
By the way, this place now when they remembered,
Ji.
When they remembered that about the fish,
yes.
They have traveled so far ahead.
So far, yes.
So
what they had to do, they had to follow their footsteps back.
Yeah.
Because obviously back then there was no sat nav,
no
navigation.
Just imagine, like, you know, you're lost in the journey. You don't know where you are. It's not your local area. Yeah, you've gone so far away from home. So you're in a way, you're lost, aren't you?
Yes.
You don't know where you are. You don't know which corners, which streets. And you have no idea where you are. You're just walking on the riverbank or just keep on walking somewhere. Mm. And now they rested a certain place, but then after that they just kept traveling, and they traveled maybe for hours and hours. They traveled so far, now they remembered that was the place where the fish came out from the basket and it went to the water. And by the way, when it went to the water, there's something else happened there.
When it went to the water, when it says that it made a hole in the sea.
Subhanallah, it's like a tunnel.
Yeah, in a tunnel.
Yeah, yeah. A tunnel just formed inside the water.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, without anyone holding it, a tunnel, and then this fish just dived in.
Yes.
And it went in so far. That itself is a miracle, isn't it? So they're very special, subhanallah. So now Musa alayhi salam realized that is the place where we were meant to go to.
Yes. So when he alayhi salam, when he reached the place where it was revealed that you're going to meet Khidr alayhi salam, thus Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he seen a person sitting who's wrapped up in a cloth.
Subhanallah. So now this is the point where Musa alayhi salam is getting to meet that person.
This was his final destination.
Who he actually set for.
Yes.
Allah.
This was the goal which he wanted to achieve. So because he didn't give up, he trusted in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, put all his trust, all his provision in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he went and he met and he reached his final goal.
Subhanallah.
But this journey doesn't end here yet.
Wow.
So he, Musa alayhi salam, probably met his final goal, but there's a longer story, another journey which is going to take place as well.
Allahu Akbar,
which shows his more passion for knowledge as well. So when Musa alayhi salam, he arrived and he seen a man, a saint, wrapped in a cloth, he gave him salam, gave him some greetings, and this man, this person, Khidr alayhi salam, he was astonished. He surprised us to where has the person come who gives salam, because he never heard anyone give salam before. So where has someone given me greetings? So he said that where have people that make salam come from on this land? Where have these people come from?
Allah.
And then he alayhi salam inquired that, who are you? So Khidr alayhi salam asked him that, who are you? See, the Musa alayhi salam replied that, I am Musa.
Subhanallah.
And then he said, who's Musa? Are you Musa of the Banu Israel? Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said, yes,
Allah,
I am that Musa. Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam, he said that, oh Musa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed me with such type of knowledge which you do not know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed you with such type of knowledge which I don't know.
Allah.
So you got some knowledge which I don't know, I have some knowledge which you don't know.
Wow. Subhanallah.
They said that Musa, Khidr alayhi salam, he had ilmul asrar, i.e. the knowledge of secrets.
Wow.
This is the knowledge which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed Khidr alayhi salam.
Wow.
And the ilm which Musa alayhi salam had was ilmul shara'i, the knowledge of the religion. rulings, about the religion. That's the knowledge which Musa alayhi salam had. But Hizr alayhi salam had a unique knowledge, which was ilmul asrar, knowledge of secrets.
Wow, subhanallah.
So this was a gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he said that, "Oh Hizr, wow, do you allow me to follow you so that I can take blessing from this science, this knowledge wow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you?"
Subhanallah.
So I don't want to stop my journey. I've come all this way. I still want to carry on. I want to get the blessings of the knowledge which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed you. So being a prophet, he's meeting another prophet and he's saying that, "I want to still get blessings from you. I want to seek your knowledge. More knowledge."
Subhanallah.
So Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam gives a reply. He says, "You will not be able to observe patience
Allah.
If you trouble me."
Wow.
Look at this reply.
That is something.
"That if you come with me, you will not be able to bear patience. There won't be sabr."
And that's like a sign that, you know, there's something extraordinary is going to happen now.
Yes, extraordinary. Wow. And if you want to come, there's going to be events are going to take place. And you will have
that,
to...
That will be beyond you.
Yeah, beyond that, you.
And you won't be able to understand
yes.
the wisdom behind them.
That's why sometimes you see people have more knowledge than the others, is because some people can handle that knowledge.
Mm.
And some people, it might be more difficult, more burden for them to handle.
Allah.
So, not comparison, I'm just saying, here, Musa alayhi salam wasn't granted ilm al-asrar. Because why? He may not have patience, may not be able to cope with that, whatever events are going to take place now. So now we're going to see why did Musa, Hizr alayhi salam mention patience? What was the reason behind this? So Musa alayhi salam, he says that, "Inshallah, I will be patient. Whatever happens, I'll be patient. I'll show my sabr on this journey."
Subhanallah.
So because you're saying I can't have sabr, inshallah, I will have sabr on this journey. So Sayyidina,
you know, I'm just trying to understand. Just in our life, just imagine you go to a teacher, and you know this teacher has special knowledge, and you want to spend a bit of time with them. You want to be in his company, and so that you can get some secrets as well, so you can learn more knowledge and wisdom from him. And however, the teacher says to you, "Look, you won't understand this. It's too much for you. Look, it's better you stay away." And then you say, "No, I want to go with you. Please let me go. Please let me go. I want to be with you." No, you keep on insisting. And then at the end, the teacher says, "Okay, then you could come, but there's some conditions." Yeah, and something like that happened.
The condition was be patient and do not ask any question until I inform you.
Wow.
Imagine your teacher saying, "Don't ask me any question till the end of the lesson."
So you're a student, observe things, but you're not allowed to ask questions.
Yes.
That's a tough situation to be in.
Especially kids, they always try to want to ask questions. And if the teacher says ask at the end, they just can't be patient. They still have to ask. So here, Hizr alayhi salam saying to Musa alayhi salam that, "Be patient, and if you've got any questions, don't ask until I inform you myself."
SubhanAllah. In fact, on this note, there's a beautiful message for us as well. You know, when you stay in a class, and your teacher is giving a lecture, whilst you're listening, loads of questions pop up in your mind. And you want to put your hand up, or you ask the question so loud in front of everyone, you stop the teacher's momentum. So rather than stopping the teacher delivering his speech, you should pause for a moment. If you have any important questions, make note of them. Okay, even if it's in your mind, or you can write them down somewhere. Write them questions down, because there's a very good chance the questions that you're about to ask, they might be getting answered in the next coming sentences. Now, if you were patient, yes. If you don't have patience, if the students waited for a few more moments, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, maybe the answer was around the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we've just...
That happens a lot, because our teachers all in the part-time Jamaat Medina, the students ask and say, "It's the next point."
Subhanallah.
The next stage.
Subhanallah. So that's a beautiful message for us. So if you have any questions, please do ask them, but don't ask them right now. Write them down somewhere, and if the teacher answers them without you asking, there's a good chance. If it doesn't happen, then you can always ask your teachers again. That's what the teachers are there for. Teachers are there to help you with knowledge. So never be stingy. Ask questions. In fact, the importance of question. So asking question, it's not something that you shouldn't do. It's encouraged in Islam. However, there's time and place for it. So especially when your teacher is delivering a hadith and he's giving commentary of, you know, tafsir of the Quran or something, or he's telling a waqiyah, and you just keep asking him questions 2-3 times in the middle, they'll forget. The momentum, you know, goes away from what you've tried to deliver before.
Yes. And like on this questions, our Shaykh Amir al-Sunnat, he granted us the Nek Amal, where we ask ourselves questions, and one of the questions for student knowledge is, do not ask questions to test a teacher.
Allah.
So a lot of students, what they do, they ask a really hard question, which they know, they might think, or the teacher won't know, you'll have to say afterwards, I'll find out. Mm. They do it to test the teacher's knowledge. And that's a sign of you're going to be losing knowledge as well. You should not ask to test your teacher.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
So at this moment, we're at the point, I think Uncle Tawfiq, the full program is going to go on this topic today.
SubhanAllah.
It's a very unique story in the Quran.
It is beautiful. I know, you know, whilst you're mentioning, I remember, you know, when this waqia has been, you know, very detailed, you know, discussed in Tafsir Siratul Jinan.
Yes.
And it's actually a lengthy story. It's
yes.
not small. And there's lessons so, you know, all over the place. Mm-hmm. And in a way, if you look at it, what we've discussed so far, this is just a half the story.
It's interesting.
And even then, this is the introduction.
Introduction.
Yeah, even in this part, there's a lot of detail,
yes.
and we've not really touched them points. But then later on, what happens? And I think, you know, even in 5-7 minutes, just summarize some of the next part. I know we can't go into detail because of the time that we have with us, but maybe summarize some of the key lessons, few points, whatever you can mention next 4 or 5 minutes.
So when Musa alayhi salam, and he agreed with the what Hizr alayhi salam gave, Hizr alayhi salam took Musa alayhi salam, Yusha bin Nun alayhi salam on this journey. So they got to a place where they found a boat, and they seen that there's occupants on the boat. So what they did, that Sayyidina Hizr alayhi salam, when they went, he took an axe and he broke the boat up.
Allah.
Now, if you think about it, you're on a boat, people are traveling. Why is Hizr alayhi salam took an axe and broke the boat?
The boat just, probably would have just, probably come in and it sank.
So it sank. So written in this, Musa alayhi salam said, he started asking Hizr alayhi salam that, why have you done this? Why have you done this to the passengers? And then Hizr alayhi salam says, I told you, you have to have patience.
Allah.
I told you, you have to have patience. So Musa alayhi salam said, okay, give me another chance.
Right.
Give me another chance, and inshallah, now I will show you my patience.
Allah.
I will not ask you any more questions. Therefore, Khidr alayhi salam, he came across a child, innocent child. And what he did with the child is that he strangled the child and he killed the child.
Allah.
And now Musa alayhi salam seen this, and now he started questioning Khidr alayhi salam again. That why are we doing this? Why have you killed an innocent child? And again, what was the condition? To have patience and ask questions.
Yeah.
And Hizr alayhi salam said, now you asked me another question. And Musa alayhi salam goes, okay, give me one more chance.
Oh, yeah.
If I break here, then we can depart.
Allah.
We'll go our separate ways. So Hizr alayhi salam said, okay, I agree, we'll go. So when they reached a village, an area, where they asked for some food and the people of the village didn't give any food. And there was a wall in this village, which Khidr alayhi salam put the wall straight. It was a bit bent. Khidr alayhi salam put the wall erect by mentioning the Ismi Azam, or mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he erected the wall straight. So Musa alayhi salam, he was displeased. He goes that the people in the village, the way they conducted with us, they didn't give us any food, yet you were nice to them and you put the wall straight.
No.
Now this was the last chance that Hizr alayhi salam gave Musa alayhi salam, and he says, now from now onwards, we're going our own ways, separate ways.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I'll mention to you the reason why these things are. Because what was the knowledge he had?
You could say the knowledge of
secrets. So because Hizr alayhi salam knew what was going to happen at this certain events, certain places, that's why he did what he did.
So he could see the future.
So the first incident was when he got the axe and broke the boat. Khidr alayhi salam said that the boat that I damaged belonged to some poor people who lived in a poor household. And he goes, at a distance there was a tyrant king who would capture good boats and would leave the defect ones. So the reason why I took the plank out from the boat is so that this boat will be defect, have a defect in, so this king will not capture the boat. So the poor people won't lose a boat. This is their livelihood. That was the reason why I took the plank out of the boat, so the poor people still have a livelihood for themselves. The second reason why I killed that child is because that his child's parents were virtuous, they were pious, but I had the knowledge unseen that when this child grows up, he will be a trans. He will leave. He will unbelieve. He won't believe in Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. So I didn't want his parents to follow him as well. So that's the reason why I kill the child.
Allah.
And the third reason why we went to an area, they didn't give us food, but yet I was still kind to them, put the wall straight, is because underneath this wall there are some treasures which belong to two orphans. Orphan meaning the parents have passed away, the father passed away, who left this treasure there. So if this wall fell, the villagers would have took the treasure. So put it straight, because when the children grow up, Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala will reveal to them that they need to go to a certain place where there's treasure for you. Wow. This is the reason why I did these events at these certain places. This was Ilmul Asrar, this was the secret of the knowledge. And Khidr alayhi salam, the unique thing of Khidr alayhi salam is that he's one of those people that is still alive.
Gaur bhai, before we move forward, just your final words. So let's just quickly, your final conclusion of this.
From this we understand that the passion Musa alayhi salam showed to seek knowledge, and where he didn't give up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him the signs, he didn't give up, he eventually reached his final goal, which was to meet Khidr alayhi salam.
Subhanallah.
This person which he traveled all this way to reach and found him, and then yet he said to him that I still want to go with you to gain blessing of your knowledge. Whatever Allah subhanahu granted you, I want to go with you and seek that knowledge as well.
Let's move on to our next segment, Sunnah Lifestyle.
I love Islam.
And today's topic is the manners of going to the toilet. It's part of
our routine,
our daily routine. Okay, something we do every day, but it's very important. Remember one thing before we actually discuss this. Remember one very important thing. As Muslims, we are so lucky that in Islam there is we have been instructed how we live our life, and every part of our life, in whichever situation, scenario that could occur in our life, there is guidance for us in Islam. And even this aspect, when you go to the toilet, how should you enter the toilet, how should you clean yourself, all these have been mentioned very openly, very clearly in our Islamic teachings. And as Muslims, we need to learn about them. This is part of our Islamic hygiene. And to fulfill the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you do it according to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inshallah, we will get the reward and blessings as well. So Brother Gaur, could you just quickly tell us some of the manners? So when you enter the toilet, here we talk with the bathroom.
Yes.
Yeah, so when you enter the bathroom, where you got the toilet there as well, and when you leave the toilet, is there any particular way you should be entering the room?
When
or
you
exiting?
Enter the toilet, enter with your left foot, and we exit the bathroom, you exit with your right foot.
But is it not, like, normally when you enter somewhere, you enter with your right foot first?
Yes. But here, because we're going to a place where it's not a clean place, here the scholar says it entered opposite way.
So when we enter masjid, you enter with your right foot in first. And when you leave the masjid, you take your left foot out first. But when you enter the toilet, it's the opposite. You enter the toilet with your left foot. Here, not hand. Okay, this is the hand, I'm just showing you my hand. But you're going to enter with your left foot first. And then when you leave with your right foot out first from the toilet. And then, anything else, any of the manners that you can...
Before going to the bathroom, read the dua for entering the bathroom or the toilet, which is, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika minal khubuthi wal khaba'is.
Wow, that's a very important dua. If you have not learned this dua, again, I'm going to give you a quick pointer. You will need to learn it yourself. We don't have time to go into detail in the program today. But if you want to learn the dua of entering the toilet, and is there a dua for leaving the toilet as well?
Leaving the toilet as well, which is Alhamdulillah alladhi adhaba anni al-adha wa afani.
Subhanallah. So these two short duas we could be reading every time when we enter the toilet, before entering the toilet, and when we leave the toilet, when we come outside, we read this dua.
And one more thing is that when you enter the toilet, you should refrain from talking in the toilet. Or as you see a lot of youngsters, what they do, they take their phones to the toilet. You should refrain from this.
So you shouldn't be playing games.
Yeah,
or watching videos in verse.
Yes, or even talking in the toilet.
So although you're going in there to do the business, yeah, but it's not real business, okay? So you're going there for a very important task. Okay, you're going there to relieve yourself. Okay, you're going there to answer the call of nature. That's not a place for phone calls or playing games or sending messages to people. That's not the place. Okay, and if you were to not message someone whilst in the toilet, it's like, you know, the world won't become upside down or something. Nothing's gonna change. The world can wait for your message. Okay, so please make sure, you know, we have appropriate manners as well. And by the way, why if someone's in the toilet already, and you need to go toilet, can you just go there and bang, bang, bang?
And just knock if you realize there's someone inside. Just have patience, have sabr. And
it's a tricky one though.
Tell him to be quick so he's aware that someone's waiting for us.
I think that's important. So do knock on to make the person
aware.
So if you don't make that person aware, and if it was someone like you who plays games in the toilet, then he'll probably be having food inside. Yeah, so now that's how it is. Yeah, when you do go toilet, please make sure you look after your piety, your clothing, you know. Don't just go there and uncover yourself. Just go there, just do the toilet part, then quickly put your clothes back on, wash your hands properly. And these days you have soap available as well. So wash your hands with soap, rub it really well. Sometimes, you know, when we wash our hands, you don't just wash your hands up to your few fingers. Wash them really well, up to your wrist as well. You know, have a good thorough washing, inshallah. So this is brief. You know, manners of going to the toilet. So please make sure whenever you visit the toilet, you behave, you make sure you don't mess about, and you act upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like this, you get thawab as well. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We have, because we're going into the final part of the program today, without any delay, let's move on to our next segment, Islamic rulings.
I love Islam.
Islamic rulings, and today we'll be talking about Sajda-e-Tilawat. Okay, you've heard about Tilawat, reciting the Quran, but what is Sajda? Okay, Sajda means performing Sajda. Okay, we've heard that as well, and we heard about Tilawat. You recite Quran, we call that Tilawat. So, do you do Tilawat whilst you're doing Sajda, or do you do, whilst you're doing the Sajda, should you be doing Tilawat? Let's go and ask Brother Gohar. Gohar bhai, could you please tell us, what is Sajda-e-Tilawat?
Sajda-e-Tilawat is a certain places in the Holy Quran which commands us to do a prostration, to do a Sajda. Yes. So if we read that verse, it is necessary upon us to do a sajda. And the blessing of sajda tilawat. So if someone reads these verses and does the sajda, shaitan moves away, runs away from that person. Another blessing of these sajda tilawat is that if someone wants to fulfill some desire, it is said that if someone reads all of the verses of sajda in the Holy Quran and does those sajdas for each verse, and then his desires will be fulfilled.
SubhanAllah. So if they were to read them verses of Sajda-e-Tilawat,
yes.
Normally in the Quran, there's like a sign at the side, it says
sign.
Sajda there.
Yes.
So if that verse has that sign, and some Quran, they have that line on top of them, words.
Actual word.
They have that particular word, or sometimes they have like a one word before or after. So if you're reading those particular words, or if that particular verse you've recited, then it to do sajda tilawat becomes wajib for them.
Yes.
So it becomes necessary, you perform the sajda tilawat. However, what about this other people there as well? Sure, you're reading that particular verse loud, and there's other people around. Do they have to do the sajda as well?
Yes, they will have to. If you listen to sajda tilawat, or if you read the sajda tilawat, it's wajib upon you to do the sajda.
Yeah. So if your ears heard that verse being recited, and the sajda tilawat became wajib for that reciter, it becomes wajib for the listeners as well. Even though you might not be paying attention, but because your ears heard the verses, it becomes wajib. Now that person who recited the Quran, it is important for him to make them aware.
Yes.
Yeah, because he's the one reciting it, so he needs to make sure all of them. And you heard these verses, now it becomes necessary for you to perform the sajda tilawat as well. There's no limit, like by when you have to do it in your lifetime. But normal procedure is that once you recite the tilawat, like the way it happens in Taraweeh Salah, when the imam he recites the verses of sajda tilawat, he performs sajda quickly, isn't he?
In Salah, if someone recites it, you have to do the sajda straight away.
Subhanallah, Subhanallah.
And this sajda tilawat, how do you do sajda tilawat? Is once you recited this verse, you just go into sajda, read Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la 3 times, and then Allahu Akbar, get up from sajda. This is the easy way of doing sajda tilawat.
So you can just stand basically.
You don't have to raise your hand, do takbir, and like you read namaz.
Just normal procedure is when you're standing, say Allahu Akbar, go down, perform the sajda.
Yes.
Only one sajda, or do you have to do 2 times?
Just once.
Once. If you perform one sajda, then you get back up, sajda tilawat is performed. It's quite easy. But you should always do it because it's the hukum of Allah, it's the order of Allah, and as Muslims we need to perform that sajda. Let's move on to our next segment, last and final segment of the program, Islamic manners.
I love Islam, I love Islam, I love Islam.
And today's topic is about making fun of others. Remember, as Muslims, it is important that we have standards. And one of them is that we shouldn't be making fun of others. We shouldn't be saying anything with our tongue, with our style, that could upset someone. And let's go to our brother Gohar. And Gohar bhai, could you please give us some brief points, why is it important to not make fun of others?
And the main reason is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to not nickname and taunt people. That's the main reason.
So that's simple for us, isn't it? So
Allah,
Islam says to us, don't do this, we don't do it.
Khalas, that's it.
Subhanallah.
You listen to the commandment of Allah.
Quite simple, isn't it? So Allah Pak has given us the instruction, has given us the order, we need to act upon it. Don't make fun of others. Don't say anything. Sometimes you call them nicknames. So when you mention nicknames, especially if you say something that could hurt someone, even like calling someone long. You know, people are long, they might call about a tree, a lamppost.
Lanky.
Yeah, lanky, lamppost.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone's a short or shorty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dwarf.
And if someone's like, you know, big in the size, they might have a different names. Yeah. And you know, these things are actually hurting. Now, and that person, he might be your friend. He might not express this, but trust me, deep down, people don't like being called names. People don't like these things. And if you have to realize this, as Muslims, you know, we need to make sure we call people in a respectful way, in a nice way, and that's the way it should be. Why should we not call names, any other harms?
Harms of calling names is that, first think about, if someone called me names, would I like it? The answer would be no, you wouldn't be like calling names. Another harm is, you see, you hear your stories, many incidents where kids get bullied in school, which leads suddenly to them childs, they commit suicide because they cannot handle the bullying that's taken place to them.
So basically from here we learn that sometimes you might call name
you
just for
like,
fun.
Yes.
Yeah, but you don't know what impact it's having on the other person.
Yes.
And that person might be stressing. He wants to, if it was up to him, if he had the power, he would have probably, you know, smacked you. He probably would have fought back.
Yeah.
He would probably have done something that he shouldn't be doing. But, you know, because of anger, he could have reacted. But because maybe physically he's weak, and you might be stronger than that person, you're calling that person name. So what he's doing, he's taking everything in. Yeah, he's taking it in, and that's causing depression, anger inside, and that could lead him to anything. Like you mentioned, you know, although it looks extreme that, you know, he might commit suicide, but it can lead to that. Yeah, and it will be really sad that if we find that someone's done something stupid to himself just because you've been calling them names.
And also, it's like, for example, this names taunting as well. This is what you see nowadays in the elders. Like, for example, mother-in-law. She might say to her daughter-in-law, why there's no child in my house? I'm going to get my son married off to someone else, but you're not having a child. And suddenly leads to the daughter-in-law committing suicide, because it's not the daughter's fault, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He grants.
Yeah. And we can't even call that a fault.
Yeah,
it's not a defect. If someone doesn't have a child, you need to realize it's not a defect. Having children, it's a decision of Allah. And if this is the taqseem, you know, if this is the distribution within the Prophet, then where do we stand? Yeah, we should never think, you know, that it's a fault of anyone. It's a test. It's a trial. Yeah, it's a trial, and we all must be patient. We shouldn't be taunting anyone for that. Okay, and it's important that you mentioned about taunting, because when people make fun of others, they do taunt.
Yeah.
You know, having a laugh. You might be laughing, you might be enjoying, but what someone's done something accidentally. You know, someone broke a glass. Yeah, someone, you know, they threw the glass or something, and then they're always talking about, yeah, you brought the glass, you done this, you done that, and all the time you're having a go at him, and you're making him feel, you know, sometimes if you taunt someone too much, you're breaking that person's confidence.
Yes.
And that's another thing to keep in mind. So as Muslims, please keep in mind that we don't make fun of other people's names, we don't make fun of their appearance. Yeah, whatever, you know, posture, gesture they have, the physical appearance, you know, we shouldn't be saying anything bad about it.
Another thing, for example, someone mentioned his goals or what he wants to be, you say, oh, daydreaming. You just keep daydreaming, nothing's going to happen. Like, someone says, I'm going to become this, I'm going to do this, a child says this, and the parent or someone might say to him, you're just daydreaming, it's not going to happen. You're there, you're affecting his confidence. Yeah, affecting his progress in life as well.
Alhamdulillah, it was a beautiful program. We heard so many beautiful topics about the traveling for knowledge and other things as well. So look after yourself, stay well. I love Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam, I love Islam.